Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday to you all. Welcome to Living Divine Transmissions with Janet on Living Astrology. I forgot who I was this morning. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening up in the stars above us today and looking forward ahead through the week. And it's a busy week this week. There is so much to talk about. I dare say I won't get through it all through the show today, but I have, you know, several pages of stuff to talk to you about. And that's because we start out today, already this morning, with the sun having moved into Gemini. I swear to God, my eyes are getting worse and worse. I looked at it this morning and said, oh, at 8 o'clock when we start the show, the sun will be moving into Gemini. It actually was at 6 a.m. this morning. So as I was waking up, the sun was moving into the sign of Gemini. That is West Coast time. It would have been 9 o'clock for all of you on the East Coast. So here we are now fully in the energy of Gemini, and one by one, those Taurian planets will start moving out of Gemini or out of Taurus and into Gemini. Sun first, Venus later this week, Jupiter at the end of the week, and then we'll see Mercury and the others start to make their move as well. Interesting, right? We go from this, we've had this intense time of all of these planets sitting in Taurus, and now they'll start to move that energy, that grounding, practical, let's observe your comfort zone. And now we're going to take all of that and we're going to move it into Gemini, a sign of movement, a sign of change or being mutable, right? Easily accessing the energy of change and adaptability and a whole lot of other things. So the energy sort of changes up for all of us. But it is a little bit of a slower process. It's not like, boom, today everything changes, but over the course of the next couple of weeks, everything changes toward that Gemini energy. And then on top of that, this morning, we start our week with the moon in the void, of course, meaning it's just a wandering moon. It's at the very end of the sign of Libra, and it's not making any new connections to anybody until 3:34 Pacific time this afternoon. So literally for those of us on the West Coast, almost the entire work day is in the void of course moon. And for those of you on the East Coast, the entire work day for you is in the void of course moon, which means when the moon is in a void of course, it means that she's in a transition state. So she's holding space, but just sort of wandering around, right? If you could picture this, it's like there's no new energy coming up from the moon until 3:34 this afternoon. And she's also been in a long void because that started at West Coast time, 8:49 p.m. last night, 11:49 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. So she's been in the void for almost, it would be just 5 hours short of 24 hours in the void, which really does never really bother me if it's on a weekend. But when we start the week in the void, it means it's a good time for us to maybe clean up the things that we didn't get finished from the weekend or from Friday's day of work. Today might be a good day to complete some things, move them off your desk, get them out of your face, and let them go, because there isn't any real energy to start anything new until much later in the day. And then the moon will transit out of Libra and into the sign of Scorpio, and that changes up the energy as well for the next few days. Now, I was going to talk about the moon in Libra, but since it's passing by, let's talk about what the moon will bring us later today when she moves into Scorpio. And next, after that, we prepare for the full moon, which will be when the moon hits the sign of Sagittarius. And it'll be very early in Sagittarius as the sun has just moved into Gemini, and there's always that opposition. So today we'll talk about the moon in Scorpio. What do we do for the next couple days? Then we're going to talk about the full moon in Sagittarius and talk about the sun in Gemini, of course. We can talk about that. And we'll also talk about the sun the full moon at the gate 34 in human design called the gate of power. So we have an interesting full moon on tap as well. And it's a very busy day. Circle the 23rd on your calendars or in your astrological chart or however you manage, you know, what's going on day by day, because the 23rd is a huge day in the cycle of time. We have a conjunction of Venus to Jupiter at the 29th degree. Remember back in December when we were talking about all the 29s that show up through 2024, we had quite a few of them right at the beginning. And now we have Venus and Jupiter conjunct at the 29th degree of Taurus. This is our culminating point of all of that Taurus energy. And the very same day, Venus moves out of Taurus and into Gemini. And we also have a full moon that day. And then that's followed by Jupiter moving out of Taurus and into Gemini later on Saturday and the 25th. So it's a big week. Let's check in with people, see how they're doing. I saw Tom first off this morning. He said the Gemini shift begins. Careful how you say that. Indeed, if I say it too fast, it might sound weird. Let's say good morning to Christine. It's good to see you. Pam Zaruba says, good morning, everyone. Happy birthday, you cute Geminis. Thank you. And Teddy says, you're the 19th. Yes, I am. TD Hawk, good morning from the Catskills. J-Lo, happy Monday to you as well. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, Teddy says, that's amore. I know that song. In fact, it was Cher's birthday today, isn't it? Isn't it Cher's birthday, you guys? I think Terry told me that this morning. Cher turned 78 today. And by the way, looks much better, he said, than Madonna, who just had her birthday too. So, or who he saw as on something in the news. All right, so let's go back and start with the moon in Scorpio, and then we'll talk about the sun in Gemini, shall we? So the moon in Scorpio holds general themes for all of us, whether you have your own moon in Scorpio or not. Now it is transiting, the moon is transiting through Scorpio, and wherever Scorpio is in your natal chart is where you look to your emotions, where you look to your inner world, your instincts, your intuition. And Scorpio is a water sign. It is deeply in intuition energy, deeply into sort of the inner world of knowingness. I guess knowingness would be the better world. And there is a lot of emotional intensity with the moon transiting through the sign of Scorpio. And I just want to show you here. Let's see, Scorpio. Let me highlight it really quick so that I can show it to all of you. Scorpio kind of looks like an M with a tail on it. So if we look here, if you have your own astrology chart, that highlighted green area is Scorpio. So if you find that in your own natal chart, then you'll know where the moon is transiting. And if you have any planets in that sign already, the moon will be moving into a conjunction with them as she transits through the sign. Okay, so you would have some effect in your life based on the planets that would be being hit and based on the house, the area of life that the moon is transiting through, okay? And even if you have no planets in Scorpio, then you would still have an impact of some sort because the moon is always affecting our moods, affecting how we feel inside and how we interact with other people. All right. I just wanted to make that clear for you guys. So emotional intensity, Scorpio ruled by Pluto and Mars, is associated with the depth and intensity and transformation. Those are three big key words for Scorpio. And during the transit of the moon through Scorpio, emotions can be more powerful and more profound. And those might be your own feelings or how other people's feelings are impacting you. Then there's this whole transformation and healing energy that pops up with the sign of Scorpio. It is a time where those emotional energies can be going through a healing process. It's a favorable time for transformation, essentially, and for deep healing. It's a time for facing and working on all the baggage, right? Those emotional issues, those grievances, those places of unforgiveness that may have been buried or that you've ignored, right? And other people will also be feeling the effects of that. The moon in Scorpio is very interested in uncovering the hidden truths and exploring mysteries, right? It's a time for us to dig into or dig up the secrets, the hidden stuff in our own lives, but also, you know, being able to understand how the power of transformation can play into your allowing that baggage to be not only dug up, but released. Let go of the baggage. Issues of power and control and manipulation come up with the moon through Scorpio. It's funny, I was having a conversation this morning with a friend. I knew the sun was in Gemini already because my messenger was lighting up. Like I almost didn't get everything I needed done this morning because I was too busy having conversations with people. But one of the things we were talking about was this issue of manipulation, and power and control also play with that. You also have to realize or remember that the north node of the moon is transiting through the gate of control right now. So these are big issues that are in our faces, and they're right in the forefront of everything that we do. And it's really important for us, all of us, to be mindful of the power dynamics in our relationships and in our interactions with everyone around us, right? And whether that is you playing the role of power, control, and manipulation, or whether it is others that are perpetrating that on you, right? You have to become very aware. So what is the personal impact for you and me during this period of time? Well, one, it's about the emotional state that we are in because the moon rules our emotions and our inner world, right? That our inner needs, our inner world, our introspective self, right? And when it transits through the sign of Scorpio, people tend to experience their feelings more intensely. It's almost like, you know, even those who've been emotionally reserved suddenly express their feelings. And it can be a tendency toward the extreme end of those emotions, right? The extreme ends being jealousy or possessiveness, or even, you know, having that high manipulation going on and control of emotions. But it's also the time for profound emotional insights, like things that you've been wondering why you feel the way you feel or why you don't feel something that you thought you should feel. And there's also a desire from each one of us for depth at this point in time, the deep, meaningful connections, the merging energy, bonding energy, and superficial interactions might not feel at all satisfying for us during this period of time. We want the deeper connection. We want the authenticity in our connections, and we want the depth in our connections. It is a good time as well for us personally to focus on the subconscious mind. It's a great time to explore all the hidden dynamics, right? And you could do that through meditation, through therapy, through journaling, through any of the deeper contemplative disciplines at this point in time. It would have a lot more impact for us. Now, the potential challenges for us during the moon's transit here are all about emotional overwhelm, and the intensity of Scorpio can feel very much like our emotions are filled up to the top and they're about to spill over. And it's important to find healthy outlets then for that emotional energy and also for you to be responsible for processing through whatever the emotions are that come up for you. There can also be a tendency toward paranoia and suspicion. Scorpionic energy easily gets to that point, right? There's a tendency toward suspicion. There's a tendency toward paranoia and mistrust. So we need to strike a balance in our lives between being discerning and being emotionally or overly emotionally suspicious, right? We have to find that balance. It's one thing to be discerning about, well, what is the meaning here? What is that person telling me? What does this really have as a meaning for the situation I'm in versus going straight to paranoia, jealousy, possessiveness, or any of the suspicion that Scorpio also brings. Control issues, of course, we talked a little bit about that, kind of heightened at this point because the north node of the moon also sitting at the gate of control in your human design. So we have power struggles and we have control issues that can surface in our lives, particularly in our closest relationships. And it's important to be aware of those dynamics and strive for healthy communication and healthy boundaries, right? Those are the keys. And some of the opportunities that come up for us during this time will be the potential for doing emotional and psychological work, whether that's with a therapist, with your favorite astrologer, or even just through a process of journaling and getting to the depth of your own emotional energy. This is a great time for doing investigative work or research, for having a deep conversation, an intimate conversation with those people closest to you. And it's a huge time for us for transformation and letting go. That baggage has to go. If it's weighing you down, it's time to let it go. So while the transiting moon in Scorpio isn't one of the most fun aspects that the moon makes or transits that the moon makes, it's definitely an important period of time for us as we move through emotional intensity and as we go through the potential for the insights that crop up during this period of time, right? So make the best of it and let go, right? Let go and let God. That's another great thing we can say about the moon in Scorpio. Soul Strategy Therapy, good morning to you. Good morning, Chester's mom. Tom says, feelings, nothing more than feelings. Yes, Tom, break out into song, sing it. And TD Hawk says, wow, that's my ninth house and Mars is there. So the moon coming across Mars in Scorpio, Mars is the co-ruler of the sign of Scorpio. So it's a very, I don't know, I could say it's a very positive time for you, TD Hawk, especially if you've been being bogged down by some kind of heavy emotional problem or something, some insight that you've had that you need to process through. It'd be great for that. Christine Buckingham, seventh house, natal Scorpio moon, north node Jupiter, retrograde Neptune, retrograde makes sense. Lots of planets for you, Christine, in the sign of Scorpio. Neptune, for a great chunk of people that are around their 50s and 60s, had Neptune in Scorpio, and 50s and early 60s, maybe late mid 50s to mid 60s. And Neptune in Scorpio is a very deeply psychic, prophetic even placement, depending on the house it's in your chart, where a lot of communication can be coming through from the divine and divine transmissions, right? Divine transmissions for all of us that have Scorpio, any planets in Scorpio, there's a lot going on, but particularly Scorpio, Neptune. Neptune is our spiritual jobs, right? It holds our spiritual jobs. And that's more through human design than you see through astrology. But it's also a sign that's highly connected to the divine, to our higher selves, that kind of thing. So a lot of potential for really high insight coming through for you in that way, Christine. Jolie, good morning to you. It's good to have you with us. Okay, so unless anybody has any more questions about Scorpio, let's move on to the sun in Gemini. And the transiting sun will be in Gemini from today until the summer solstice, when the marker of that time is when the sun moves into zero Cancer. So for those of us in the northern hemisphere, summer's on its way, right? When the sun moves through the sign of Gemini, the energy becomes much more about communication. I saw that firsthand this morning. It becomes more about our social network and our social ability, and also our intellectual pursuits, learning and teaching, and also the whole idea of networking. Right? Ideas like, you know, social media come into my mind over that one, or, you know, how your network of friends spreads out. And the general themes of the sun in Gemini are going to be primarily around communication and expression, right? How you say what you say, how you listen before you speak, right? That's a big thing. So Gemini is ruled by the planet Mercury. So what Mercury is doing is very important during this period of time. And of course, Mercury right now in Taurus, finishing up that transit next week, Mercury himself will move into Gemini, and that will change up the energy to be very much more about communication and expression. So when the sun transits Gemini, people tend to be more talkative, more curious, more open-minded, eager to share ideas. There's a very social energy around Gemini. There's a heightened desire even for socializing and for networking. And people tend to want to attend social gatherings or engage more in conversations and build connections with new people, or even build connections on the people, you know, deeper connections, let's say, not necessarily deeper, but stronger connections to the people in their lives. There's a big focus on learning and curiosity. In fact, you know, learning with Gemini is really built upon curiosity itself. Like if you're curious about astrology, then you start moving in that direction, learning more about it. If you have a curiosity about how to cook with a certain spice, then you start moving in that direction, learning more and more about it. It can be learning for learning's sake, but it usually starts with a curiosity, like there's something I want to know about. So taking courses and reading more, engaging in mentally stimulating conversations, curiosity here is at its peak. So encourage yourself or be encouraging to others to explore the topics that are really of interest to you. And of course, Sun in Gemini is a sign of flexibility and adaptability. That mutable quality of Gemini air is very much about the versatility and the adaptability that we all have to adopt as change is upon us. And we might find ourselves during this time juggling multiple things, tasks and interests, and adapting to changing circumstances more easily, right? This is mutable energy, right? The sign itself. Now, on a personal level, depending on your natal sun sign, this transit can affect you differently. So, for example, all the air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius, will feel particularly energized at this point in time. And while the mutable signs might also experience significant shifts in developments in their lives, and that would be you if you are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, or Pisces. So, it's not that the other signs don't have any impact. It's just those are the ones, the two, right, that are the biggest influenced, most influenced signs during this period of time. But the house or the area of your life where Gemini sits is also where a lot of influence will take place. In my own chart, I have Gemini on my 12th house, and now I'm looking at a lot of unconsciousness coming up. That'll be fun or not. I'm looking at a lot of withdrawal energy, moving inward rather than outward. Although I feel like that's not quite how that's going to play out for me. But if you have, let's say, Gemini on your third house of your chart, then you might focus more on communication and maybe have more activities that you're engaged with in your neighborhood or locally. If it's in your 10th house, then career and public energy, public image might take center stage. So it depends on where it is in your chart as to what will be impacting you. And I'm just going to leap ahead here for a moment. It's important to know that house. Why? Because it's not, the sun will be in Gemini for only 30 days or so, right? But Jupiter moves into Gemini on Saturday, and he will be in Gemini for an entire year until this time next May. So we want to pay attention to that Gemini part of our lives or parts of our charts. Now, the dualistic nature of Gemini, remember, it's the sign of the twins, right? There's the outgoing twin, and then there's the introverted twin. And that dual nature can sometimes lead us to scatter energy, right? Or have find it difficult to focus on anything. For example, a task in front of you that you need to complete, you might find your mind wandering, or you're, you know, getting up and jumping to the next thing or to the next thing. And then you go, oh, wait, I didn't finish this thing. So we have to manage our priorities. We have to manage our time better during these next periods, this next transit. Especially so that we can avoid feeling overwhelmed by the speed of our minds and by this number of opportunities to do things that might come up during this period of time. Now, with the emphasis on communication, there's a risk for all of us to engage in just the superficial light conversation, right? The chatter that we might have with other people. And in that, we may also spread ourselves too thin, engaging ourselves in a lot more social activities than what we could really feel comfortable in doing. So striving for depth and for meaningful connections can really help us to mitigate that impact on us. And what we're doing in that case is we're pulling from the Sagittarius opposite point. Sagittarius takes depth, superficial is Gemini. So what do we do during this period of the sun transiting through Gemini? It's a time for networking and socializing, attend events, join groups, reconnect with friends, right? Do those things that, you know, support a social network in your life. Maybe expanding your social network. I've been thinking about getting more, that makes me just go shivery inside, getting more active in social media, because I pretty much, other than just posting business things, let that go. And maybe it's a time to reconnect that. Learning and teaching. Sign up for a class. Teach a class. Maybe reconnect with a hobby that you have not had time for, or share your knowledge with others. Write something. Speak something. Gemini's influence supports both learning and teaching. Both sides, right? So there's that. Writing and speaking. Again, the dual nature, right? Writing and speaking in communication. So maybe start a blog if that's something you've always wanted to do, or give presentations. It's an ideal period for any activity where you are expressing your thoughts through a medium such as writing or speaking, your thoughts and your ideas. Travel and exploration, that's going to take a bigger sort of part of our lives when Jupiter moves into Gemini. Jupiter is the sign, it's the planet that really involves foreign travel or longer distance travel. And now you're putting the longer distance traveling planet into the sign of Gemini, which rules the shorter distance travels. So we see the possibility in the next year for a lot of cross-cultural exposure for us through travel, whether that is short distance or long distance. But primarily with the sun in Gemini, it's short trips, exploring your local area. This is a time, at least here in the Pacific Northwest, and I bet it's the same all around the country, where local festivals start to really come into play. We have a strawberry festival coming up. I know there's other places around the state have strawberry festivals, and then, you know, summertime arts and crafts fairs and things like that. So it's a time where those things can be particularly enjoyable for all of us as it gets us out into the social scene. So in conclusion, the sun in Gemini is a lively, communicative, intellectually stimulating time of the year. So embrace your curiosity and be adaptable. Find where it is that you've been stuck and not moving and make some headway in a new direction. Enjoy your social opportunities. And all of that can lead to personal growth. And by adding to the ideas and to the intellectual things that you are engaged with. So there's a problem perhaps with being able to stay focused. So we have to be watchful of scattering our energy, but make the most of this transit with the sun in Gemini. All right. Questions about that. TD Hawk says Gemini is my fourth house, north node there, setting up of a foundation. Right. There may be a dual nature that goes on in the fourth house, perhaps depending on your 10th house TD, that there's maybe a struggle between work and career and your social or your public image versus home and family and the responsibilities that you have to family. There may be something always there that you have to balance and struggle with. Terry Strauss, good morning to you. Terry, my husband, good morning to you. And you're very welcome for all of that information. Mars in Scorpio in the 11th, Soul Strategy Therapy says, Mars in Scorpio in the 11th now is going to add that intensity of the moon to your social networks, right? Because the 11th house rules your hopes and dreams and your goals, your aspirations. That's one piece. It also rules your friends, your networks, like the people that are all of the connections that you have or that you make. And the 11th house is also about humanitarian work. So it's possible maybe you're more involved with the people in your life, maybe in a deeper, more emotional way. Maybe they're experiencing issues and you're helping them, or maybe they're helping you through something emotional. But lean into your friends and the people that you're around. And you're very welcome, TD. And hello, Asa. Good to have you with us this morning. Anyway, thank you all for your comments. And sometimes I miss some. So if there was something very exciting that I missed and you really wanted me to see, say it again, right? Don't worry about it being repeating. Sometimes I just miss it. All right. Now we're going to move to the next big news of the week. First big news was Moon in Scorpio, second Sun in Gemini. Now we're going to move to the 23rd. And on the 23rd, we have a lot going on. In fact, we have, we did have the Sun trine Pluto on the 22nd, but I'm skipping that one because I really want to talk about Venus conjunct Jupiter, then Venus moving into Gemini, and then the full moon, right? All three big things all on one day, all in one day. It's huge, right? That like, boom, there it is. We have this big energy. So let's talk about Venus conjunct Jupiter first. This conjunction takes place in Taurus at the 29th degree. It's an anaretic degree, right? Or a critical degree. And the 29th degree is all about the accumulation of all the experiences, all the knowledge, all the things that you've learned while the bodies have been transiting through the sign of Taurus in this case. Right? So the 29th degree brings it all in, integrates, or gives us an opportunity to integrate everything that's come up. Now, in this case, Venus has just been here for a couple of weeks, but Jupiter has been here for a year. So all of us should be really looking to what has the Jupiter in Taurus experience brought to us? And what does the last few weeks of Venus in Taurus, what has that brought to us, right? This is a culminating point. We might be culminating in abundance and prosperity themes, money themes, right? Taurus is a money theme. We might be culminating in relationships, particularly our romantic relationships, right? Our love interests. So how does intimacy and romance and the level of our comfort in relationships. How's that culminating? What have the changes brought to us? And that's funny. My printer is printing like out of the blue. I didn't send it to print anything, but it's printing something. It'll be interesting to see what it's printing. A chart. today's chart. How interesting is that? I already printed today's chart. Ghosts in the machines. Okay, so then what's culminating in terms of your values and your worth? Right? Long lessons through Jupiter, not as long with Venus, but Venus rules our values, our self-worth, our money, and our relationships. And now she's bringing that together with the growth and expansion properties of Jupiter. Okay, I hope that makes sense, right? You're bringing this all together. All right. Now, the general themes then of this conjunction are going to be about abundance and prosperity. We can't help that. It's all there. We talked about this, like we've been talking about this for a while, because those are the themes that are coming up in a big way. Both Venus and Jupiter coming together, they are benefic planets. They give off good energies. And Venus represents love, beauty, values, money, harmony, pleasure, while Jupiter represents expansion and growth, and also our inner guru, our inner wise man or wise woman, right? It really represents the culmination then of the evolution of your consciousness. So in a very big way, this is a very big deal. And their conjunction in Taurus, which is a sign associated with material wealth, with stability, amplifies the themes of prosperity and financial gain, but also relationships, right? So there's pleasure and enjoyment in this. This is a good coming together of planets. It enhances our idea of living a pleasurable life, being in the senses and kind of feeling good, right? This is a feel-good time. And it is a time for us to indulge in the things that really make us feel good, right? Go get a massage, eat good food, drink the things that make you feel warm and comforted. And maybe even, you know, for us to participate in artistic expression, right? Get your art on, right? Love and relationships. Venus rules relationships, as I said. Jupiter brings expansion. So as they're sitting at this 29th degree, it's an excellent time for beginning a new romance or forming new relationships with people or going to the next level in the relationships with the people that are already in your life, right? But existing relationships can increase harmony, like maybe where there's been disharmony. We can see the around the bend to maybe increasing harmony. And then, of course, artistic expression, which can take on anything from poetry to art itself, right? Painting, drawing, crafts, all those kinds of things, dance. It's all heightened during this period of time. Now, each of us have a personal impact too, and this is greatly dependent on where Taurus is in your natal chart. So there could be financial growth, as it's a favorable time for financial matters, for investments, purchases, all of the financial planning things that you can do, benefit from the positive energies of Venus and Jupiter coming together. It's a good period for increasing wealth and making profitable decisions, but also determining what does wealth mean for you, right? What does it mean for you? There's romantic opportunities. Your relationships may be more loving. Maybe new romantic relationships are in the offing for some of you who have been wanting that kind of connection. Creativity and beauty. We all seem to ramp up the need for that kind of beauty in our lives, or we're looking at how before Venus and Jupiter moved into Taurus and started, you know, our possible beautifying of our environment or our relationships. How have we brought all that together, and how are we integrating all those things that we've learned? Well-being and comfort also included in that, which gives us sort of a health sense, like well-being. Well-being in your body, in your environment, in your relationships, etc. Now, there are potential challenges. I never want you to think that it's all, you know, rosy and all, you know, flowers and beautiful romantic songs, because there's always the challenge, right? And that each of us might have to deal with in some way in our lives. And the number one thing with Venus and Jupiter coming together is overindulgence, right? If one bonbon is good, then the whole box is better. Not so. Maybe once in a great while, but the tendency is for us to have accumulated maybe extra weight or extra things over the course of time, as this has been a transit, Venus shorter, but Jupiter in this sign for a while, that can have led us to excesses, overspending, overeating, overindulgence in all things of pleasure. So it's important for us to avoid that by practicing moderation in all things, right? Complacency. Jupiter and Venus coming together can make things so easy that we become complacent. We just expect, right? Oh yeah, this is good. This is good. When it could be great. Like if you just put one more step forward, if you just took one more hour of doing something, right? It could be much better. So with the emphasis being on comfort and pleasure, there can be a tendency toward laziness, and we'll have to overcome that. So stay mindful of your goals and your responsibilities in order to balance complacency with action, right? So it's a time for us to do a financial checkup if we want to, right? It would be a great time to take a look at your investments, to do romantic things for those you love, or nice things for those you love, right? Do the things that strengthen your relationships. It's perfect time for dates, for getaways, for expressing your love, your appreciation, your gratitude for those that are important in your life. Self-care and wellness, always appreciated, but at this point in time, almost necessary to take care of you in all of this. And the conjunction of Venus and Jupiter in Taurus brings a period of joy, a period of abundance, of positive developments in our lives. And if not bringing them to us, allowing us to see in a culminating sort of way the benefits that we have gotten from this particular transit. All right. Now, the next thing, that same day, in a couple of hours, Venus moves out of Taurus and into Gemini. And this brings on a different energy around our relationships, our money, and our values and our worth. Okay, so Venus in Gemini is bringing more of the social interaction into our experience. Venus typically spends about a month in each sign, and its transit through Gemini can bring on the lighter, more communicative, more intellectually stimulating parts of our relationships. So we're looking at more communication and socializing. Because Gemini is ruled by Mercury, now we're kind of bringing Mercury things into Venus. And that means more communication in our social spheres, in our relationships, and an increased emphasis on talking, which can only be problematic if we forget that the other half of talking is listening, right? And it's very difficult sometimes to get heard if someone is talking over you, right? And, or if someone just continually chatters and you can't get a word in edgewise. So we'll all have to remember that it's equal parts, or that communication is equal parts speaking and equal parts listening. Speaking and listening in balance, in a Gemini duality, we have to have both, right? There's, of course, intellectual connection. We are influenced by our compatibility on the things that we think about or the things that interest us, right? We bring those things into our social sphere. There's a variety and curiosity that is being brought up here too. There's flirtation. Gemini is already a flirty kind of sign. Now you add Venus here and it's flirtatious, it's lighthearted, playful. And there's a tendency to enjoy the connections that we have with people, maybe, you know, being more open and lighthearted in our connections rather than, you know, holding ourselves back, right? So your personal connections, your personal love relationships, your social life, your creativity and expression, all kind of stimulated by Venus's transit through Gemini. Now, there are potential challenges, right? It's not all wine and roses. There's superficiality here. It's very possible to there's a tendency even with Gemini energy to skim the surface, to not necessarily go into the depths. And while all of this newness and social interaction can be very exciting, it's important to also seek depth, go to the Sagittarius end and bring in depth and meaningful engagement in your relationships, right? Don't let them just be on the surface. Restlessness, there is that scattered energy feeling and this desire that we have for more stimulation or more variety in our experiences can lead to restlessness when there's a void of that, right? When we're not out there chitter-chattering with our social networks, we can have difficulty because we're now restless, and that can lead us to leap into and out of things at a quicker pace. It can cause difficulties in our committing to something, right? We might need to balance the novelty of new relationships with the benefits of stability. We can't forget all of those Taurus lessons that we've learned with both Venus and the Sun, and eventually here this week, Jupiter. So it's a time for getting out, for socializing, networking, learning and exploring, writing in your own journal or writing in a way that you want to share with people. Travel and short trips also come up again. It's a theme that we see. These themes are repeating now, you know, with as different planets move in. And then because the Sun has now moved into Gemini, Thursday's full moon will also be in Sagittarius or across the Gemini-Sagittarius axis. The Sun, of course, in Gemini while the moon is in Sagittarius. So if we take a deeper look now at the full moon that's coming up, it's a pretty powerful full moon. And a full moon is always a time for bringing things together, for completion, for culminating a project or culminating something in your life. It is also a time, and it seems upside down, but it's also a time for a new beginning. You've come through the new moon, which was 2 weeks before the full moon, where a new intention has been laid or something new has been started. You've come through the first square of that moon. And that first square is often a crisis of action where the obstacles have shown up or the limitations have shown up or the places where trouble brews, right, come up at that first square and cause us to either rethink our intention or in some cases we give it up, right? We let go of it. We're like, oh, that's too much trouble. Or we think we did something wrong, right? So that first square brings up the challenge. And then when we get to the full moon, we have the potential for a new beginning in the actions that we take toward our intention because we've moved through the obstacles or we've let them go. We've moved around, above, under. We've maybe changed the goal a little bit. And so the full moon can be a very positive time of revelation, seeing, if I only do this, then it will be much better, that kind of thing. So when we're talking about the full moon in Sagittarius, we are also bringing up Sagittarian themes, which are colored by Sagittarius, by Jupiter. And those themes are optimism, truth-seeking, freedom, adventure, and exploring, and sometimes the communication of truths with others in a way that can be problematic if it's overly blunt, hurtful on one end, but also very eye-opening on the other end. So the general theme then of the full moon on Thursday is going to be about the culmination and completion of something. That's one theme. And it represents the peak of the lunar cycle. And after that, everything starts to change, wanes, right? And when it comes to a fruition of something, then we can see, like, what are the next steps? What's the next thing? How do I want to accomplish the goal or the intention? And this Sagittarius full moon may bring truth and wisdom to the forefront. And higher learning is also involved with Sagittarius energy. But I think of it more as seeing the truth of something, right? Seeing the truth. And this could also be a moon that highlights our quest for knowledge, for understanding, and also the broader perspective on life, right? We don't want to narrow, we want to be broad here. Adventure and exploration, another theme of this moon. Travel, exploration, new topics, new social interactions. It's a very good time to get away from routine and to seek new experiences, expand your horizons, do something different, right? It's also a time for optimism and positivity. It's a very good full moon, right? It is bringing us the promise, perhaps, of intellectual and spiritual growth. The full moon, of course, is a great time for an individual shift in your intellectual pursuits or in your pursuit of your goals, studying new subjects, exploring something new. Release limiting beliefs, believe it or not. We have limiting beliefs, right? We all have some place in our lives where we're playing small. And this is an open invitation at the full moon to let that go and instead play to your strengths. Be the adventurer. Be a little bold. It is fire energy after all, right? Boldness is implied. The potential challenges in the full moon come from restlessness and impulsiveness and a tendency to speak first and think later. So we'll want to be watchful about the words that we say and how we say what we say. And blunt it's not necessarily bad, but it can mean that sometimes we say things to people without an invitation to do so. And, or we say things with words or intonation that can be harmful or hurtful. So we want to be careful of that. And we also want to be careful of being overly optimistic. Right? Over-optimism can lead to unrealistic expectations. It can lead to us committing to too many things or saying or feeling like we could do anything and then finding out that's not true. So we have that to be watchful for. But mostly, you know, take a look at your philosophical beliefs. Maybe do some travel and exploration during this, you know, think of the trips that you'd want to take, like what, if you can't take them now, what trips might you want to take in the future? Celebrate, socialize, have fun. It is a good moon for that. Now, perhaps the biggest astrological configuration of the full moon is the sextile that the moon will make to Pluto in Aquarius and the trine that the sun will be making to Pluto. And of course, the themes in Pluto are all about transformation and power. You know, right? Pluto represents that deep transformation. It's kind of Scorpionic that way. Oh, funny thing. Pluto is a co-ruler along with Mars of Scorpio energy. So now we can see like where does that Scorpio intensity come from? And now we have that Scorpionic sort of Pluto power and intensity coming into this full moon, but in a positive way, right? It's a sextile, which is a 60 degree relationship with the moon. And that is the energy of the smooth harmonizing of the Pluto power and the moon depth and knowledge. So it could bring collective progress. It's more collective than it is maybe personal. There's innovation potentially here that, you know, is coming in through the Sagittarius looking at the bigger picture. And combining the energies then of the full moon in Sagittarius with the sextile Pluto, we have deep emotional insights perhaps that come to the surface. We have empowered pursuit of truth. Now, the quest for truth and wisdom is intensified because that's the intellectual nature of this energy, right? It's just the way it's going. People, though, need to learn how to dig deeper within themselves to process the emotions or to process the feelings, the things that are changing within their lives so that those transformations become positive transformations. And, you know, we need to find out how to be supported during that transformation, both on a personal level, but also collectively, like the bigger picture. And we need to release the patterns that are no longer serving us and embrace new, more empowering perspectives, seeing things from that bigger picture, right? Finding innovative solutions. This is all a part of this possibility in the new, in the full moon in Sagittarius. It's amplified by Pluto because Pluto has that transformational energy. So it suggests maybe new creative solutions. Aquarius is innovative and inventive, and Pluto in Aquarius is leading us toward the future. So what can I let go of now that isn't going to be something I can take with me into the future, right? So personally, we may be expected to, you know, elevate our thinking, elevate our consciousness by letting go of what no longer serves us. It's a time to reflect and release, seek knowledge and truth, innovative thinking and creativity, bringing that to the forefront. You know, how can I do this differently? How can I show up in a different way? What's this creative? What is a creative solution to this old problem that I've been dealing with? And empowerment through collaboration, the harmonizing effect of the sextile brings the moon in Sagittarius, truth seeking, freedom, knowledge, and adventure into the collaborative energy of Pluto in Aquarius, right? Looking at things maybe upside down. So, of course, how this impacts you as an individual is going to vary based on your chart, right? And since I don't see your chart at the moment, but look at where the sign of Sagittarius is and where the sign of Aquarius is, what houses, that will tell you the areas of your life where there's this harmonizing thing going on. Now, the full moon itself is also in the gate 34, called the gate of power. It is in the sacral center, which is the center for life force energy, for vitality, for doing and being. It's a very powerful center. And the energy of the gate 34 is about the power that moves out to affect all of the other centers in the body graph. So again, we have the theme of empowerment and personal power. It's fundamentally about the correct use of personal power. That's what the gate 34 is all about. It represents the pure, raw energy that we all have, the potential to harness this power for productive purposes. Now, if you are a manifesting generator, this is adding to that energy for you. If you are someone who doesn't carry the gate 34, you will now either have that gate 34 defined in a hanging gate, which would mean it's just waiting to be connected to somebody else's energy. So you would have the completion through other people. Or maybe you guys have a gate 20 that's hanging, and the, or a gate 10 that's hanging, and the 34 or 57 even hanging, and the 34 connects up to one of those. So it's a very powerful energy, but it's sustainable energy. And here's the kicker, right? This isn't just this burst of energy. This is sustainable energy, and it's up to us to learn how to use the power in the right way for our own energy, to support our own energy. If you're a manifester, a reflector, or a projector, and you're not used to this injection of this life force energy, it may feel so good to you, right? You're on top of the world. You can get all this done, but it only lasts from the 21st to the 27th, and then it's gone, right? So got to watch this. Actually, the full moon is the day. And then the sun will move into this gate later in the month. Self-determination, independence, all of that comes up here as well. It illuminates our personal power or our lack of it. And literally, I could say so much more about this, and I didn't even get to Jupiter really being in Gemini and what that means for us for the year ahead, but we have time for that on Friday, as that doesn't necessarily happen until we get to Saturday. I'm looking, Debbie Tippett's to me, a laziness and bonbons. Debbie says there's lazy and then there's you. Bonbons and a whole box of dates. Oh, that's Tom saying that to Debbie. That's funny. The whole box is better, Teddy said. Of course it is. Maybe one box though. not repeated boxes of said bonbons. Got to be careful there. Okay. Let's draw a card for us for the week ahead. And again, remember, I don't know if any of you have partaken in this, but in Facebook, where the video is, I put a link later on as I get it finished. I put the link to the PDF file of the transcript of today's show. It's not really the transcript, though, because it's the outline that I made of what I was going to be talking about. And then I also put that on YouTube in the description of that video. And you can download that for free at this point in time. And it gives you a handy little, review of everything that we've talked about this morning, even with the little, notes about the 11th house, perhaps, of or the signs or the houses that, planets are in. And the card I've drawn for us is Here and Now. How interesting is that? Look at the signposts. One says the past and one says the future. But here we are right here in the now. And it's card number 32, which is a 5. That speaks to change and constructive use of freedom. It came out upright. And oops, I don't want 42. I want 32. There we go. So the card's essential meaning is being fully present in the moment, living one day at a time. And the oracle's message is everything happens in the now, in the present. Only this moment counts. You have what it takes to handle anything today if you let go of the need to look into the future or reflect on the past. Be present and notice what is going on right now. This very moment has the potential for you to create miracles in your life. I love miracles. There we go. That's our card for the week. Ooh, I just heard that I need to pull an animal. Okay. Am I pulling this animal? Nope, I'm not pulling this animal. I'm pulling a different animal card. Just got to find it first. Bear with me, guys. Ah, spirit animal. I just made a mess. Okay, so the animal then... that is going to lead us. By the way, I opened my back door this morning and there was a rabbit sitting there. I think that's quite lucky. Fortunate. My cat was kind of growling at it, but yeah, she's a cat. And the animal is, that's too funny, is cat spirit. Cat spirit 13, which is a 4. And cat spirit says, claim your independence. I love it. I'm not sure why that came up, but okay, we'll just follow along. And cat spirit says, when cat spirit meows, she is calling you to claim your independence and allow for some space between you and others in your life. The only way you can grow in all your relationships now is to have a healthy sense of self-respect and self-worth. When you walk with dignity, knowing who you are, self-aware and willing to grow, trusting the value you bring, the world will mirror all of this back to you in kind. When you say no to codependency and enmeshment, live and let live, and practice taking risks as you wander into new territory for you, cat spirit rejoices. She is here to urge you to let your independent spirit roam free. Cat spirit. I love that she has little wings. Cat. Kitty cat. All right, you guys, that is it for me today. I will see you on Friday, where we will definitely take a walk through the Jupiter in Gemini year ahead of us. And I look forward to seeing you then. Bye for now. Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.